This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
The National LGBTI Health Alliance held its 8th conference, Health in Difference 2013, Our Bodies, Our Minds, in Melbourne in April 2013. Joy 94.9, Australia's only radio station for our diverse communities, is proud to partner with the Alliance to bring you this recording of the 2013 conference.
Our next speaker is Samar Haddell, presenting a word of mouth navigating community health. Samar is a community health promotion officer at Acon Health, a newcomer to alcohol and other drugs team. Samar has been an active member of the GLBT community since 2006, having volunteered for Acon in various capacities. Thank you.
Thanks, Ben. So as Ben said, my name is Summer and I work at Acon. For those that aren't familiar with Acon, it's a New South Wales health promotion organisation that specialises in HIV and LGBTI health. I work in the alcohol and other drugs team. So we do a lot of health promotion campaigns like the word of mouth campaign, which I'll be speaking on today. We have an NSP, so the needle syringe program that runs out of Acon, and we have a lot of volunteer opportunities. And we do a substance support counselling service as well and referrals. The way the presentation will go today is basically I'll briefly speak about the initial stage of the word of mouth campaign, but focus on why the campaign wasn't an initial success. But there will be a happy ending to this presentation because I'll talk about what we learnt from stage one and what we've done in launching stage two of the word of mouth campaign, which has evolved to the Your Word of Mouth project. So the word of mouth campaign, a little bit about it. It was launched in December 2011 and it was aimed at lesbians and same-sex attracted women. And it was around the harms associated with problematic drug use for this target group and also the drug treatment access barriers. So we know that women are underrepresented in drug treatment services. This is a fact in ACON support services. Not many women come through and we need to try and address that. So this campaign had the initial aim of trying to raise awareness amongst this community about ACON substance support service. An additional priority of the campaign was to provide information about bloodborne virus transmission. So we also had the focus of body modification practices like needle play, piercing, blood play. So these were some of the focuses of the campaign. I've already touched on a few. You'll note there that we did focus on, or I guess underlying factor was that pleasure is a motivator when it comes to drug use. And this is about acknowledging that not all drug use is problematic. A lot of us may take drugs and it could be a social and fun experiences, but we do engage in harm reduction practices without even maybe knowing what the term means. And that's the case for a lot of women within our community. So it was kind of an ambitious campaign where we were looking at addressing problematic drug use, but also sending a harm reduction message to those within the community that may not necessarily see their drug use as problematic. So what did we do? Resources. Okay. We developed a range of A3 posters and postcards. So there were 5 postcards that we developed. They were designed to be non-alarmist, non-judgmental, and they were. It was intended that they would provide health promotion information around drug treatment, around safer drug use, around body modification practices. That was the initial intention, and I'm saying this because I'll tell you why maybe in about 3 minutes. These are the postcards. So it was intended that on the back of the postcards, we would have this information. And now these postcards, you'll see the URL, the youtube.com/ our word of mouth. The focal point of the campaign was a YouTube channel, which was which housed four videos. Now these videos were focusing on different, drug experiences. So one was about balancing drug use, one was about drug treatment, and these stories were told by women within the community. There was one video that was around, needle play. So there were four videos in total, but we did intend to have five. I'm not going to play all this because this is a snapshot presentation. It will go well above my intended time. But if you do want to see this, come see me later and I'll have a chat to you about it. That's not a problem at all. What happened? Not much. Okay, the campaign had a lot of potential, but a few things happened. So it was essentially an online campaign. So we even had a Facebook page that was designed to maximise the exposure and lead our target group to the YouTube channel. But this just didn't happen. So we have an online campaign, but we don't have an online social media strategy in our project brief. And I guess I'm focusing on this because more and more campaigns may be developed where there's an online component, and you need to think about what kind of online social media strategy you want to incorporate into that to stay on top of things. So things about, you know, how often do you want to log onto your Facebook page every day and respond to any comments or check the activity on that page. With the YouTube channel, it was designed to be interactive, so people can leave comments or questions, and we would answer those questions, but that actually just didn't happen at all. I guess no one left any comments. And that was also related to something that was a simple oversight. I don't know if any of you are familiar with the term meta tagging. So when you type in, say with the YouTube, you've got the search bar, you type in, in this instance, word of mouth. Maybe have this as a little exercise if you're interested enough when you get back to your computers. Type in word of mouth. It's probably going to take you about an hour to find this channel. This is because we didn't optimize the meta tagging for the YouTube channel. So include more and more keywords so that the chances of you finding it would be far better than they are right now. The only way that people could essentially find the YouTube channel is if they knew about it or they had the full URL and they could access those videos. So that was a simple oversight, but it was a significant one. Another big issue was that it was, and this is something that I think probably happens in a lot of health promotion for minority groups, where you get a small bit of funding and then you just want the campaign to be everything to everyone. And this campaign had too many objectives. Its aims were ambitious. As I said before, we wanted to speak to those that see their drug use as problematic, but at the same time celebrate the diversity of, social experiences within this community and communicate to those that don't see their drug use as problematic. So you've got two competing messages that you're trying to communicate, and what you're doing is alienating one or the other, if not both. So what happened with this campaign, we ended up with a really diluted message at the end. So now this is the happy ending. All right. So the campaign was evaluated in November 2012, so that was about 11 months after we launched stage one of the campaign. And this is where we found these issues that had come up. In terms of the evaluation, we actually released a online survey through SurveyMonkey. I'll be honest, we only got maybe like 12 respondents, but that's reflective of the fact that the campaign just wasn't well received by our target group. We did some face-to-face interviews with some internal employees that had worked on the campaign in various ways throughout its development, and we also thought about it really hard. There you go. This is what Stage 2 look like? So in December 2012, we launched Stage 2, and it did become the Your Word of Mouth campaign, but it's turned into a film competition. So rather than us speaking to the community and saying, hey, this is what, how we want to educate you, we decided to listen to lesbians and same-sex attracted women and find out about their experiences in a way that was really creative, that really empowers women, and it was through an accessible medium film. So we had... We partnered up with Queer Screen. Is everyone familiar with Queer Screen? Queer Screen is Sydney-based. During the Mardi Gras Festival, there is the Mardi Gras Queer Screen Festival, short films, and also there's a Winter Queer Screen Festival. It's really well recognised in Sydney within the GLBTI community. So it was an amazing collaboration to have. And this just highlights the importance of community partnership engagement, what it can do for your campaign. It really can, I guess, maximise the reach of a campaign. So we partnered up with Queer Screen. We also partnered up with, it was an internal partnership with Claude, ilovequeer.com, and this is the brainchild of the amazing lesbian and same-sex attracted women's sexual health team at ACON, who provided a lot of information and input about how we can develop and promote the Your Word of Mouth film competition. The competition is currently running. Entries close, I think, in about a week's time. So for anyone that wants to enter, come and see me later. So it's been, I guess... well received. We held a film workshop where some amazing female filmmakers came and presented about various aspects of filmmaking, which is really quite phenomenal. They actually just gave up their time to do this workshop, and that was also quite well received. Where we're at now, we'll be announcing the winners in May. We'll be having an event an iconic venue. It's the Newtown Hotel, which is well recognised by the community. When we launched the initial campaign back in December, we had a really successful launch, and we partnered up with a roller derby team, a queer roller derby team, the Virgin Regime, who helped us promote the campaign, which is quite amazing. So I guess to conclude, what have we learnt? We've learnt about the importance of partnership engagement, that you don't need to have massive amounts of funding to make something work, although that's not to say no to funding. Department of Health is sitting anyway. Also, it was about empowering women, and as I said before, about being a bit more creative with how you connect with the community, and it was about stripping back the priorities or the aims of the campaign back to basics, to simply connect women with ACON, because I think the biggest issue is that a lot of women within the community still view ACON as a gay men's health organisation, and this is something that we need to tackle before we want to promote drug treatment or substance support services at ACON. We just want women to connect with ACON, but we also want to build a framework for questioning and connect women with one another so that we can try and create some sort of discourse around alcohol and other drugs. It doesn't have to be a taboo. So these were the main things that have come out of Stage 2 of the campaign, but it's still a work in progress. But hopefully this will build the groundwork for a longer term strategy so that we can develop future campaigns that focus on drug treatment access barriers, which is something that is really important. Thank you.
You have been listening to a recording from the Health in Difference 2013 conference held in Melbourne in April 2013. For more information about the National LGBTI Health Alliance, head to lgbtihealth.org.au. And for more information on Joy 94.9, Australia's only radio station for our diverse communities, explore joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.